Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Kevin DeSilva, and I want to welcome you to episode 5 of the Viralizer Insiders podcast, also known as VIP. And here's the deal. In this episode, which is, again, episode 5, but it's also part 2 of the Action to Money series, right? It's a series that I'm creating, which is going to be 4 parts, also 4 steps to go from action to money, okay? So it's going to be 4 simple steps that you can take to start making money. Now, in the first part, in episode 4, we covered mindset shifts that get you to want to take action, because when it's all said and done, as boring as people might think mindset is, when it comes down to it, mindset is everything. It really is everything. I mean, I could teach you all the best formulas in the world. I mean, it doesn't matter. Somebody can give you $1 million to run ads. Unless you have your mindset right, unless you get rid of, you know, the fear and you find some ways to motivate yourself to take the action, you know, people tell themselves, oh, maybe if I had money to advertise, then I'd do it. If I had this, then I'd be able to do it. But the truth is, somebody could hand you 10 grand to be like, go spend this on advertising. And what would most people do? Most people would just keep that money in the bank and just be like, oh, you know, I'm just going to set up these funnels over here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and always procrastinate. And when it really comes down to it, it's your fear, or it's, you know, something is blocking you from taking action. And that all comes down to mindset. So anyone who says that, you know, if you say mindset is, you know, kind of boring or whatever, and that's the stuff that you skip, don't wonder why after. You know, you're not taking the actions that you should. Anyway, we talked about, just to recap real quick, we talked about, you know, looking at your business from the outside in. When you look at it from the inside out, you know, there's all these personal feelings and excuses attached to why you don't have an opt-in form, why you haven't done this, why you haven't done that, right? But when you look at it from the outside in, the same way your competitor does, you know, all those excuses are non-existent. All that matters is there's no friggin' opt-in form in that sidebar, right? Or, you know, the blog posts are not really done well. You know, when you're doing it from the inside, when you're looking at it from the inside out, you're writing a blog post and you're thinking, oh, well, I got to go pick up the kids, so I'm not going to do a good job. I'll come back after. So that's the excuse that you use for, you know, making it okay that that blog post wasn't done to the best of your ability. But when you look at it from the outside in, all you see is a blog post that sucks, right? So look at it from the outside in, even more powerful. Look at it through the eyes of your competitor. Look at yourself as if you're, you know, one of your competitors, and look at it through their eyes. And we do this so that, number one, we can come to the realization that we're in a competition. You're not in this. This isn't some hobby. This, you know, all the things that you have on your to-do list, those are not chores, like go take out the trash. You're in a competition. You're in a game. You're playing to win. And right now you might be losing. If you're not, great, but there's always somebody bigger, better that you can, you know, aspire to beat. Or maybe that person is yourself, right? Even if you're number one, you want to always be competing with yourself. You always want to outdo what you did last week or the week, you know, the week before, whatever. Always try to beat whoever's the best. And if you're the best, try to beat yourself. So, which is really, I mean, that's a whole nother episode, but you know, you should always be in competition with yourself, always trying to outdo yourself, right? So that's that. Part 2, this episode, we're going to be talking about persuasion and influence. Most people, what do they want, right? When you look at what they're chasing, maybe chasing is a bad word, but when you look at what they're striving for, it's not to most people anyway. You know, everybody, yeah, wants to provide value and all that. But most people, when it comes down to it, all they care about is making money, right? That's all they care about. And that's why you see all these courses out there, how to sell better, how to do the perfect clothes, and better, better, better. It's all sell, sell, sell. And I use sell, sell, sell. I think that's from Jim Cramer's, right? Mad Money. He's got that button that he hits and it goes sell, sell, sell. But that's what most people do, right? Most people only care about selling shit. I don't see a way of enjoying life if all you do is sell. You follow me? Like, I enjoy interacting with everybody. I enjoy going to my Twitter feed and seeing people say, you know, thank you for that. Or that was so great. That was so amazing. You know, just, and I can care less that they're giving, it's not about me. It's for somebody to say those words, they must have got a ton of value. That's what matters to me. Knowing that you can touch other people like that, knowing that you can, you know, help other people achieve their goals. I mean, there's nothing better in my eyes. There's nothing better than that kind of a lifestyle where you achieve your dreams by helping other people achieve theirs. And, you know, I am all about providing massive value, putting it out there for free. Now, a lot of people disagree with this. A lot of people are all about the, you know, sell. Now, that's cool. If you want to be all about selling, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a million ways to skin a cat. If that's you, awesome. Go be you. Here's the problem with that. There are people who want to be that guy or that, you know, girl where they just sell, and they don't want to deal with interacting with people or whatever, but yet they want to use social media. Those two don't mix, all right? You can't want to use social media if all you do is promote a squeeze page. Or, you know, it's just, I don't know. There's just a really, I guess what I'm really trying to get across is this. Let's get down to it. Our number one goal in Viralizers, what we are trying to do is build persuasion and influence. It's more important to us than making money. Now, the reason is when you have persuasion and influence, you can make as much money as you want forever. If all you're trying to do is make money, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be trying to drive traffic to this squeeze page, and that's it. Now, even if that works, right? Even if you use some automated formula to build up, you know, 100,000 followers, you're going to be able to spam them for a little while and get traffic to that squeeze page. But once you've hit everybody up and they realize that you're a spammer that just spams your squeeze page, the results will stop. And that's it. You're done. Right now, you got to go spam somewhere else or find some other way of spamming people. When it comes to building persuasion and influence, if you spend all your time providing value and applying the principles we're about to go over in this episode to build that persuasion and influence, you can stop, right? But the persuasion and influence doesn't go away. Now, yeah, if you just stop talking to people and you don't come around for a year, you're going to go cold, right? People are going to forget about you. But as long as my point is that when we build persuasion and influence, we do it by providing massive value. What I mean by provide massive value is we create content, you know, whether it be podcasts, videos, free reports, whatever, and we put it out there every day, blog posts, every day, boom, boom, boom. Every day, we're putting new stuff out there to provide value, build persuasion and influence. Now, those things will stay out there forever, right? They're going to rank in the search engines. They're going to rank in YouTube. People will be retweeting it because they're going to find your blog. They're going to read that killer blog post. They're going to share it on Twitter. They're going to share it on Facebook. So for years and years to come, you'll continue to get traffic. You'll continue to get leads. You'll continue to get sales. Why? Because you were focused on building influence, which involved you putting a bunch of value into your market, onto the internet. That's going to stay there forever. If all you're focused on is making money, then all you're doing is sending traffic to some squeeze page. Once you stop the promotion of that squeeze page, everything stops because nobody is going to go around sharing that squeeze page. You follow me? Nobody is going to find that squeeze page because the squeeze page can't get ranked inside of YouTube or Google or anywhere else. Right? It's just some page that's disconnected because search engines don't rank squeeze pages. So you see what I'm saying? Do you see the difference here? So we focus on building persuasion and influence. Now, there's six principles for building persuasion and influence. They were created by Robert Cialdini. Now, I'm going to go over the six principles with you, and I'm going to show you how it is completely in sync with what we're doing here at the Viralizers formula. And the reason I want to do this before we move on to the next episode, which is here's the steps to go build your tribe right now. And I'm talking about how to get the most active, interested, hungriest buying audience into your tribe. Okay. How to get the likers, the sharers, the commenters, the Viralizers into your tribe. So before we do that, though, you have to know this right here. You have to have these tools already anchored in your mind, right? You need to know how to build persuasion and influence. Here's why. You'll never find a better time to build persuasion and influence with your tribe than when they're first coming in. You follow me? Like, when do you usually have a conversation with somebody? When do you have that first conversation? It's when they first stop following you. Either you or they will say to the other one, hey, thanks for the follow. Thanks for following me, right? And then that's your opening to say, come back and respond to them. Most people don't respond. Most people don't even check their social media. You want to check their social media. You, if their username is, hockey guy, you want to click on their profile, go to their profile. If you have to go to their website, find out what their real name is. And when you respond to them, use their real name, which will prove that you were interested in them enough that you went searching and you went look at their site. You wanted to know more about them. And then when you do that, that's your opening. What you've just done is something that 99.999% of the people will never do. You acknowledged them. You responded. You started a friendship. So you just took it from, you know, here's some person that's in my tribe that I don't know who they are. I don't know what they do. You just took it from that to a whole new level. Now they're going to be your actual friend. Now they're going to be able to say, yeah, I've talked to that person before. They're really cool. You know, they have three dogs, maybe four kids, whatever. You actually will know them. Now, the thing is, most people on social media, they only have about 10 people that they actually know like that. So when you respond to them or you turn to them and say, hey, thanks for following or whatever, you build and you do and you implement these six formulas or tools. Really what they are six tools for you to use to build persuasion and influence. So I wanted you to have these before we move on to the next step. So as you're building your tribe, because as you start, when I teach you the steps to go recruit people into your tribe, you're going to be equipped with the tools to build persuasion and influence with them as they're coming in. So without further ado, let's jump in. Now, these are the six laws of persuasion or influence by Robert Cialdini. Now, he also wrote a book called Influence. So principle number one is, you know, something we've all heard before. Reciprocity. Okay. Reciprocity. Now here's the deal. Most people think that, and this could be the case, but it's not what we're going to be talking about. Most people think of reciprocity as, oh, I'm going to hook you up with this killer course that I made and you're going to owe me. You know, that's cool and everything. But when it comes to social media, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't mean to demean that because that's a really powerful formula, right? Just hooking people up for free. That's what we do. But we want to go even deeper. When we talk about reciprocity, I'm talking about if you want people to retweet your messages, you want people to hit the like button, you want people to leave a rating or a review or subscribe to your podcast, go do it for them. That's real reciprocity. You know, giving them your free report in exchange for an email address, you know, but it's something that you usually sell. So you're giving it to them for free. That's reciprocity. I am giving you my course for free and, you know, you owe me now. That's not really something that you're doing for them. It's kind of for you too, though, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, again, but when I talk about reciprocity, I'm talking about, it goes right back to the, you know, if you the viralizer beliefs, which is if you want to be acknowledged, first you must acknowledge. Go and retweet other people's content. You know, you want to build a relationship with some of the top influencers in your market. There's no better way to do it than to retweet their stuff or share their stuff or comment on their stuff. You know, be really selfless, right? Don't, you know what? Here's an episode that I'm going to be creating, and I'll just let the cat out of the bag now, but get rid of your agenda. Get rid of your agenda. Now, don't get me wrong. All the actions you take should be a part of an agenda, right? So I'm active on social media. Why? Because I'm looking to build relationships, which in turn is going to build trust and reciprocity and persuasion and influence with my community which is going to be able to make me sell better and make me more money. Of course, that's the agenda. But leave it there. When you go and you take the actions, like you go be active on social media, leave the agenda behind. You know what I mean? It's like you can always feel it. You can get the vibe that this person really is not trying to help me. You know, you can tell when somebody links to their website in a post and they're doing it because they're sincerely trying to help and they're being sincere. And you could tell, or, you know, genuine. But you can tell when people are doing it and, you know, they're just, you know, bullshitting, making it seem like they care just so that they can get their link in there. Leave your agenda at the door. Forget about building your business for a second and just really try to build relationships. To build relationships, we need to do something which we're going to go over here in a second, which is going to be called likability, but let's stick to the reciprocity for now. So the law of reciprocity says that when somebody does something for you, you are then obligated to do for them. And it doesn't have to be equal in value. So if somebody lets you borrow a quarter today, if they ask you tomorrow to borrow a dollar, you're going to feel obligated to say yes, even though they're asking to borrow from you four times what you lent them. They still will feel obligated. So, you know, if I lent you a quarter today, and I said, you wanted to go buy a soda and you needed a quarter, and you turned to me and said, hey, Kev, you got a quarter? And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. I know you would do it for me. And you want to say phrases like that. I know you would do it for me, to label it as I'm doing you a favor. That's really powerful. That's a huge, you know, take a note on that one. Label the when you're doing something like that for somebody, really gently. But when you label it, it'll just stick out in their mind. And that's why people say that all the time. You ever notice when, oh, I know you'd do that for me. Oh, no problem. Just get me back one day. People say that to, you know, label it like you now owe me. But, if I let you borrow a quarter today and I say, yeah, no problem. You kidding me? Here you go. Don't even have to ask. If it's in my drawer, just go get it. You don't even have to ask. And then tomorrow I need a dollar and I come up to you and say, hey, you think I could borrow a dollar? I forgot my wallet at home. What are you going to do? Of course you're going to be like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Who's going to say no when that person just lent you money the day before, even though it's four times in value? So they did tests like this and they've seen that over and over again, people would reciprocate even if they were being asked for more than they had received, right? They did one test at Brigham and Women's where this professor started sending Christmas cards, or this doctor started sending Christmas cards to people he didn't know. He just picked people out of the phone book, you know, closed his eyes, boom, 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 and started sending Christmas cards to people every year. Now, when there was a sticky note, right? So what they did was they did tests and they put sticky notes on the Christmas cards. The sticky note. So on one test, they sent a bunch of people a Christmas card, but with a sticky note that was blank. They never wrote anything on it. That increased the response rate by 4%. Just seeing that they took an additional action of putting on a sticky note, which obviously, you know, somebody had to have done that, had to take time to do that. It increased the response rate by 4%. When they added a handwritten note, so they put a sticky note and they hand wrote on there, you know, Merry Christmas or whatever it is, they got a 69% response. Even though they had no idea who the hell this Christmas card was coming from, 7 out of 10 people responded with a Christmas card of their own. Think about that. Think about that, right? So it just goes to show human behavior. We're always going to do for someone what they do for us, right? Now, how do we apply this to business? Well, it comes down to if all you do is provide people with value, they will feel a sense of obligation to do something for you. Now, we're going to get into this in episode, this is episode 5, 6, 7. In episode 7, we're going to be talking about the money-making strategy, right? I'm going to be giving you the number one formula that you can go make money, and it's going to involve this principle of reciprocity. And you'll see, I don't want to get into that right now, but just know that there's something really powerful coming. But what you want to do is provide massive value And then you give people a way, when you give people a way to pay you back, they're going to jump at the opportunity. Because that sense of obligation ends up feeling like tension between the relationship, right? When somebody does something really nice for you, I mean, they can't wait to do something back. I literally, when I first built my tribe, I've mentioned this before, I had people emailing me all the time. Hey, Kevin, can I get your affiliate link for this? Hey, Kevin, can I get your affiliate link for that? And I'm talking about many times, it was products that I had nothing to do with. I had never mentioned in any of my videos. They just wanted me to make money. Sometimes I would take days to respond. Once things start to build up, I start to get a lot of messages like it's starting to happen again. But I enjoy it, so it doesn't, you know, I love it. But the thing is, though, back then, same thing was happening. It took me 3 days to respond to this person. And sure enough, you know, when I responded, I thought I probably shouldn't even respond. It's been 3 days, but I responded with, you know, thank you. That's really considerate. Here's my link, but, you know, you don't have to do that. And then I see the affiliate commission come through. Now, I thought to myself, okay, so this person wanted to buy something, right? They wanted to go buy this thing. But they thought to themselves, hey, why would they even think that, right? Obviously, it's because they felt up, they felt like they owed me, right? They wanted to do something nice for me, which is awesome. But think about that. Imagine wanting to buy something and then just saying, oh, this person over here, I know they're in internet marketing. They've helped me a lot. I'm going to go contact them and ask for their affiliate link, to which I don't respond to for 3 days. Okay? 3 days, no response. They wait for my response. And then when I respond, they went by. Think about that. I'm the type of person, I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, when I make a decision to buy something, I cannot sleep at night until I go buy that thing. I mean, I'm going to be awake all night and I'm going to be at the store as soon as it opens up. I'm the type of person that will pay $40, $50 for overnight shipping on a $20 product, because when I want something, I want it now. That's just the way I am. You know, it's just, that's just the way I am. When I put my mind to something, there's a tension. It's the same thing. And there's a tension. I can't let go until I've completed that thing or, you know, that challenge. Well, here's a person that not only did they make a decision to buy and they tried to do a nice gesture. Even if they responded with, I was expecting them to respond with, oh, Kevin, I already bought that, but, you know, I'll next time or whatever. But no, they waited 3 days for my response just so that they can get my affiliate link. So think about the power of that, okay? When you build up this reciprocity, when you do things for free, because the point I'm trying to get at here is a lot of people think, oh, if I do stuff for free, if I put out value for free, I won't make money. It's the complete opposite. You can make more money, and that's something I'm going to prove to you in part four of this series. You will make more money by providing your value for free, okay? And we're going to talk about that in episode four, part four of this series. Next, principle number two, and we're going to move this along now. That was the biggie right there, but let's move this along, and we'll go really quick now. Principle number two is social proof. So we do what we see other people doing. I mean, you know, you ever hear your mom, oh, if your friends were jumping off a bridge, would you? Yeah. If everybody in your town was jumping off a bridge, chances are you're going to go jump off that damn bridge too, because why in the world are all these people? There's got to be a reason everybody's jumping off the bridge, right? If you're in a movie theater and three people stand up and start running, what are you going to do? Just sit there and be like, what are those people doing? No, you're going to think they must see something. Social proof matters, basically. You know, and how does this line up with the viralizers formula? It lines up because we build tribes. If you go to somebody's site and you see that they have no fans, none of their content's being shared, they have no followers on Twitter, right? And then on the other side, you have somebody who's got, you know, the content's pretty much the same. But on one site, there's a ton of comments, there's people sharing, they have, you know, a few thousand followers, few thousand fans. Which person are you going to trust? Which person? If you just seen their two sites today, you looked at their content, they had the same exact content, but one had a bunch of, you know, the share buttons, the retweets, been retweeted a bunch of times, it's been shared, it's been liked, this comment, they have a bunch of fans, they have, you know, on their website, they have the little box in the sidebar that says this person has 1,300 fans. And on the other person's site, they have nothing, no fans, No shares, no comments, but the content's the same. Which person are you going to follow? You would follow the person, I mean, most of us would follow the person that has all the comments and the shares, because we would think to ourselves in that moment, obviously this person has something better than the other person. Why, or else why would they have all these shares and followers and whatever? How can we do that? We do that by building a tribe, getting fans, getting followers. That's exactly what I'm going to be showing you how to do. And I'm going to give you another way that this was used in infomercials. So when they used to end the infomercial, they would say the call to action would usually be, call this 1-800 number. Operators are standing or waiting by. Operators are standing by, right? Operators are waiting to answer the phone. You know, what kind of a picture does that paint in your mind? When you think of operators, you know, standing by or waiting to answer the phone, you think of like this rundown office where there's just a bunch of operators, you know, like picking their nails, sitting at a bunch of cubicles, and the phones are not ringing, right? That's what you think of. Well, they absolutely skyrocketed infomercial sales when they changed the call to action from operators are waiting to answer your calls to this. If you call and the lines are busy, please call again later. Guess what this did? Telling people that there's a chance you're going to call and you're going to get a busy signal and you're going to have to continue to call back. You would think that that would deter people, right? And be like, oh, I'm going to have to keep calling back. Nah, I'll do it. I don't feel like doing that right now. You would think that's what people would say. Instead, that made people, that skyrocketed sales. Why? Why would telling people you're probably going to call in, get a busy signal, have to keep calling back every half hour for the next 3 hours, why would that make, you know, people want to buy it more? People realized, oh, so many people are ordering this thing right now that I'm going to miss out, right? They're all going to have this cool thing and I'm not, right? We all want to have the thing that everybody else has. So when we see that all these people are following this person and, you know, they're getting a ton of comments and people are saying, oh, wow, that was so awesome. When people see that, right, when you're recruiting people into your tribe or you're inviting them to come check out your Twitter profile or whatever, and they see all this action going on, people talking about how great last night's webinar was, what'll happen is people will say to themselves, I'm missing out. There's something big happening over here and I'm not a part of it. Boom, I want to become a part of it. We need that social proof, and that's one of the biggest things that we focus on in the Viralizers formula. I mean, that's one of the number one things that I can show you how to get, and I'm going to show you how to get in the next episode, right? I'm going to give you specific formulas that you can go implement right now to start building your tribe of not just anybody, not just people that are interested in your topic, but the most interesting. I mean, just wait until I show you these formulas. So anyway, that's social proof. Now, the next principle is likability. Now, people buy from, you heard it, people they like, know, and trust, right? Well, how do you get people to like you? What are what's the criteria to get people to like you? There are three things that make people like us, right? Number one is they're similar to you, right? Whether it be look, personality type, whatever, they're similar. Number two, you compliment them. If people like people that compliment them, okay? If you compliment them, that's a good way to get them to like you. And number three, you feel like you're working towards the same goal, okay? You feel like you and that person are working towards the same goal. If you feel like you have the same goals, you're more likely to like that person. Remember we talked about in episode 3, creating your manifesto, creating your list of goals, your list of beliefs for you and your tribe? Why do you think I recommended that you do that? Why do you think I, you know, made that episode 3 of the formula? Coming up with the beliefs that you share with your tribe. It's not beliefs or goals that only you have. You want to make a list of beliefs and goals. And if you know, you hear this and say, ah, now I get it, make sure you go back and listen to that. You want to make your shared goals or shared beliefs and put it up there, because that's what's going to unite your tribe. That's what everyone can look at and say, that's what we stand for. Right. And to remind you, the Viralizers Manifesto is a set of beliefs that go like this. Love the hustle. right? Don't just hustle, enjoy the hustle. Build relationships, not just numbers, right? We're into building relationships with people because the numbers mean nothing unless you have relationships with all the people that make up those numbers. Next, making money is easy when you have a tribe. Building a tribe is easy when you provide value. Providing value is easy when you love what you do. Take massive action, being certain of success. To be acknowledged, you must first acknowledge. To receive value, you must first provide value. Make a commitment to stay consistent. And winning plays win games, okay? These are all beliefs that we share. And each of those has a really profound meaning to it. And I'm continuing to add to it, right? The make a commitment to stay consistent was recently added. Winning plays win games. I have a whole episode on that, right? The VIP strategy session number one. It was the second episode that I did for this podcast. Well, it wasn't an episode. It was the first strategy session. Come up with those beliefs and then you highlight it on your site and let everybody know, here's how we are similar. Now, this takes some investigations, right? You got to do some recon and figure out what are those beliefs. What are the shared obstacles? What are the shared goals? What are the shared beliefs? If you can pinpoint those, that's how you can stand out like no other. And that's what will make you more likable because you'll know what obstacles to talk about, what beliefs, what goals to talk about, and you'll know this is going to connect and resonate with my audience. Next is scarcity, right? So there's two types of scarcity, scarcity of product, scarcity of information. The example that he uses, again, I'm going to speed this up now. The example that they use is this. So there's an Australian, there's a company that sells beef, and they got this report saying that there was going to be some really extreme weather in Australia. So they sent out an email to their list saying, there's going to be extreme weather in Australia, and beef is going to become really, really scarce, right? Australian beef. So if you want it, you should order it now. Their sales went up. Increased by 60%. Okay, the sales increased by 60%. Well, watch this. When they included that the information was also scarce and that the product was going to be scarce. So when they phrased it like this, when they said that, you know, we have this exclusive source, a source that no other meat company has, and we know that there's going to be some extreme weather in the areas that produce Australian beef, okay? So we have this, you know, scarce information that's letting us know that there's going to be a real, you know, there's going to be scarce product when it comes to Australian beef. Sales increased by 612%, okay? So let that sink in, okay? If you can tell people that you have, you know, exclusive information and that it's going to be scarce product, we can use that. Now, how do we use that in the Viralizers formula? The way we use it in the Viralizers formula, this scarce product, we use it by when everybody sees that you have a large audience and you come out and say, I'm only going to be taking 5 people to do this thing. Guess what happens? You're going to sell that those 5 like this, right? When you, all you do is put out tremendous value, right? You're always putting out insane, ridiculous amounts of value. You're going to build up a large tribe. And I'm going to show you how to build that tribe. Then you're going to provide the value and you're going to tell your story and you're going to suck people in with your story. Now what's going to happen is everybody's going to see that you have a large audience, right? That you have a large following. Now, when you come out and say, hey, we're going to be doing a seminar, but we're only going to let 50 people in. What happens is not only are you going to be able to sell those so fast, you're going to be able to raise your prices, right? I mean, Joe Polish and Dean Jackson, they've been doing a podcast for years now for free called I Love Marketing. I mean, these are two of the most brilliant guys when it comes to marketing. These guys charge $25,000 a year for their mastermind. Okay. They charge absolute top dollar to attend their events and masterminds. Why do you think that they're able to do that? Obviously, they're brilliant, but there's a lot of brilliant people out there. But the reason that they're able to charge such high or demand such high prices is because they have such a large following. They have hundreds of thousands of people downloading every episode of their podcast. So if they want to sell 100 seats to a seminar, you think that's hard when you have 400,000 people or whatever it is downloading your podcast every week? Of course it's not. You see what I'm saying? So when you focus on building your tribe and building relationships with that tribe and providing that tribe with value, do you see how easy it becomes to then make money? It's as simple as coming up with a way, something to sell, right? Because there's always going to be people right there waiting to buy. And you're going to be building up all this reciprocity every time you put something out and provide value, 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 value. I mean, it's just going to build up and build up and build up that you're giving them a release when you say, hey, want to buy this? Boom, they're all going to buy it because most of them are going to buy it just because they want to give back to you. I mean, I had so many people buy my $497 mentoring program that never even showed up to a single coaching call. I was upset, right? I was contacting them like, dude, what's up? Why aren't you showing up? I do believe that it comes down to they just wanted a way to give back to me because I had provided them with so much value for months. And this is all what we do. Now, the best part is, listen, do we do this because we want to make money? Kind of, yeah. I mean, we're running a business. We want to make money. But the point is, it's just the best business, in my opinion, right? We don't do it specifically so thinking of what we can get in return. We do it because we enjoy giving value. But we're building up reciprocity. We're building up our social proof. We're building up our likability. You know, when we offer something, we're going to be able to, you know, use the scarcity play because it's just a fact, right? When you have tens of thousands of people following you and you're only offering 10 or 100 of this, and there's tens of thousands of people that are getting that offer, scarcity is already implied, right? It's there. It's a fact. You don't even have to imply it. Next, principle of persuasion is authority, right? People will follow and listen to anyone who's considered an authority. Now, what does being an authority really mean when it comes down to it? An authority is someone who's knowledgeable and trustworthy. Okay? Knowledgeable and trustworthy. Now, how do you become somebody that's knowledgeable, right? How do you let people see that you're knowledgeable? You provide value, right? Again, I mean, it's built right into the Viralizer's formula. You see, again, like in most courses, you have to convince people, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Now, you'll hear me mention things that I've done, but I'll use it as examples when trying to make a point, right? I don't do it just to say, I'm this authority that has done these things. No, I'll use it as examples. Other than that, I don't talk about it. Now, you know, most people have to tell these stories, right? They spend 40 minutes on a webinar talking about their life story, about all the great things they've done. Nobody gives a shit about that. Right? Nobody cares. But when you follow the Viralizer's formula, it's built right in that people are going to see you as an authority. When all you're doing is providing value, you put out free videos, free reports, or, you know, you answer people's questions, they can see that you're knowledgeable. Now, that's how you're seen as somebody who's knowledgeable, but how are you seen as somebody that's trustworthy? The trustworthy person will tell you where their weaknesses lie. Then you tell them about your strengths. That's going to help you, okay? That's going to show that you're trustworthy. That's going to show that you're not someone who's going to, you know, make it seem like you are perfect and you know everything, even if you don't, right? You know, when I started this podcast, you'll notice that I told you I'm not some guru that has made millions of dollars. You know, I'm just a regular dude, right? I'm just somebody that came up with this formula. I've done it in the past. I'm doing it again. And I'm sharing my formula with you, and I'm sharing my journey with you. There are things that I know how to do. For example, I'll give you an example right now. Doing keyword research on blog posts. That's really important. I haven't done it yet when it comes to my blog. I've been teaching this for years. I haven't done it on my blog yet. Why? I won't do things until I can make a video and document it for you, right? So I want you to be able to like follow along with me and see that, you know, up until now, I haven't been using keyword research for my blog posts. Now I'm going to stop focusing on that. So I'm making a video of me making that switch so that you can make the switch with me. So that's just something that I'm doing. But I always will tell people, I'll be honest, right? And when you're honest with people, it lets people say, you know what? Yeah, maybe this person is not you know, the millionaire guru, but you know what? They're honest, they're trustworthy, they're real, they're genuine, they're sincere. Those are the things that I get the most. You know, you're so genuine, you're so passionate, you're you're so enthusiastic, it gets me pumped up. You know, you're so real, you get right to the point, you know, no BS style. These are the phrases that I hear over and over and over again when people give me feedback. And that's the kind of stuff that you want to hear, right? Be honest, because when it comes down to it, your trust factor is number one. I'll give you the ultimate example of this. Oprah, right? Why is Oprah one of the richest people in the world off a free TV show? It wasn't from the check that she was getting for the show. It was all of the persuasion and influence that she holds, right? I mean, when they cry, she cries. When they scream, she screams, right? She's one of them. But yet, she was smart enough to say, okay, let's launch a magazine. Let's launch a book club. I mean, she mentions a business. The next day, it's a seven-figure business. She mentions the name of a book. The next day, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. That's power, okay? That is power. Even though her show was a free show where she interviewed other people or whatever, it wasn't some infomercial. She made way more money than any infomercials ever will, right? She's made billions of dollars giving away free information, starting book clubs and magazines. Those don't even seem like things that you could, they don't even seem like products that you'd sell, right? It's just whatever. It's a, you know, yeah, I'm going to pay for a subscription to a magazine. You don't even think of that as I'm paying this person for something. You follow me? There's no hard sell that's involved. That's what you want to do. Be the Oprah of your tribe. That's what this whole course is about. And the cool thing is, you don't have to be the authority, but you'll be perceived as the authority anyway. And if you really want to be perceived as the authority, one of the best ways to do that, I'll give you the answer. This was one of the most profound statements I've ever heard, which was by Wyatt Woodsmore. He said at a seminar I was at one time, if you can explain in greater detail, better than your prospect can, the problems and obstacles that they're facing, they will automatically and unconsciously assume that you have the answer. Let me repeat that. If you can explain to your prospects or your tribe members the pains that they're feeling, the obstacles that they're facing, the emotions that are rising up inside of them, better than they can, if you could put it into words better than they can, if you can hit the nail on the head when it comes to talking about their pains, they will automatically and unconsciously assume that you have the answer. Even if you don't tell them you have the answer, they're going to say, this person knows the answer. Because there's no way they can know the problem so well like the way they do without having the solution for it. So take that for what you will. I'm not going to jump into the power of that. Just know that that's one of the most profound things I've ever learned. And it could not be more true. And I'll give you an example. If I sit here and tell you as an entrepreneur, I know what it's like when your family rolls their eyes, when people start talking about what it is you do as an online entrepreneur, or you're trying to make money online, you know, your family gives each other the eye rolls, and they kind of, when you're telling them about what you do, when you're all excited, and they kind of like stare off at the wall, like, oh, I don't want to listen to this, that type of stuff, right? Those are like really deep things that most people wouldn't tell other people about. But if you know those things, and you know to bring it up, and people can be like, yeah, me too. If you can say anything and get them to say, yeah, me too. That's exactly what happens to me. Wow, that's crazy. If you could come up with those things, you got them, right? You got them. You'll relate so well with your tribe. I mean, you'll be the ultimate authority to them. Final principle of building persuasion and influence is commitment and consistency. So people are more willing to take actions once they've already started to take action. So this is why you see on order forms, step one of three, step two of three, step three of three, right? Before, you go to an order form and everything would be there for you to fill out. Now you go to an order form on some places, or the people that understand this, and it says step one of three, enter your name and email, something that's very simple, something that most people want to object to. Then you get to step two and it says enter your name, your address, right? Still haven't asked you for the credit card. Then you get to step three. Now they ask for the credit card. Why? Why do they ask for the credit card? Why did they split that process up into three steps? Because they know that, number one, if they ask you for the name and email address, even the people that maybe were just going to the order form to see the price, They're going to fill in the name and email address. Then they get to step two. What's your name and address? Well, if you want to see the price, you got to put in your name and address or whatever. Then you get to step three. Now you see the price. Well, because you've already taken two steps, you're going to be a lot more likely to buy, right? Because you ever think this to yourself? Well, I'm already halfway there. So, right? Like something that you want to give up on, but you think, ah, oh, screw it. I'm already doing it. So might as well finish it now. That's the commitment consistency, right? People will always usually finish what they're doing if you can get them to stop, is basically what it comes down to. So how can we use this when it comes to your tribe? Well, if we know that getting people to take a small action will lead to them taking bigger and bigger actions, then the smart thing to do is whatever you're going to be asking them to do, figure out what are the big steps and what are the smaller steps. And then start off teaching them or asking them to take the smallest steps as possible, right? Teach them the things that they can go do that are so quick to implement, but yet that are so powerful that, you know, when they go and they take that little action, it takes 2 seconds, but they might get results. And as long as you get them to take that first action, now you've just increased the chances big time of them continuing to take action and taking the next one and the next one and the next one, right? Even better if you get them to state publicly that they're going to be taking an action, forget about it, right? That's where the real power comes into it. I've been thinking about that, right? How do you get people to state publicly that they're going to be taking actions related to your tribe, right? When it relates to tribe building and stuff. And I was thinking that what we could do is, you know, I have a video on viralizers.com on how to use the Twitter widget where you embed it onto your blog. It's got the pre-written tweet in there, and they could just click a button and retweet that whatever you wrote there to their audience, right? If you haven't seen it, go to viralizers.com. It's the tweet retweet formula videos. There's part one and part two. Well, you can watch part one and embed one of those widgets onto your blog. And what you do is, you know, you when you pre-write the tweet that they're going to retweet to their audience or their friends or followers, whatever, right in there, I just took, you know, the first step into losing 30 pounds, for example. Or, you know, I'm sending this tweet out to let everyone know that I'm committed to losing 30 pounds over the next 4 weeks. So using the, you know, hashtag your business name or, you know, a link back to your site, using the workout system at httpyourdomain.com. So you get your the people in your tribe to just take that little action and just say, you know, I'm going to try this. And they retweet that to their friends, followers, friends, friends on Facebook, connections on LinkedIn, whatever. Get them to share that message. And now you pretty much got them because they've just told all of their friends, hey, I'm committed to losing and I'm making a commitment publicly that I'm going to use this system to lose this amount of weight or to make this much money or to try to do this over the next 4 weeks. When they tell all their friends that, now they can't go back on it, right? They just declared publicly that they're going to be, this is their goal. They'll look like a quitter if they don't complete it. Get them to do that. So that's what I've come up with so far as a little, you know, kind of a cool little formula that we can use to get people to commit and take action and really get the most value from our formulas, tribes, whatever. So that's it, right? So those are the 6 principles of persuasion. And now hopefully you could see how they just are so in line with what we do here at the Viralizers Formula, right? What we're going to be doing. Do you see how it just lines up so perfectly, right? Everything is just, this is all included in the Viralizers Formula. When it comes to, you know, using the other formulas where it's just send traffic to squeeze page, send traffic to sales letter. I mean, are you going to build up reciprocity that way? No. Who's going to feel like they owe you something after just getting pitched by you, right? They're going to feel like you owe them because they just wasted time looking at your page. Social proof. Are you going to build up social proof when you're sending traffic, you know, paid traffic to some sales letter? There's no social proof. Nobody's going to go share that with their friends. But we have social proof when it comes to us because we're building tribes. We're being public at all times, right? We're interacting with people. You know, people can see that social proof. That's one of the biggest things that we're going to have. So is reciprocity, because we're all about providing value and acknowledging people and interacting with people. Third, likability. I mean, if you take the steps that we talked about of figuring out what those beliefs are, those shared goals are, and creating your manifesto. I mean, look at, if you go to viralizers.com, you'll see right in the sidebar, I have a picture of the manifesto. And if you click on it, you get brought to a page where it's got the big picture. And that is all the shared beliefs. I mean, if anybody looks at that and they, you know, there's going to be one of those are going to connect with them, and they're going to say, wow, you know, that might be the little push that they need to get off the fence and listen to one of my podcasts or something, right? When they see those beliefs, it's something that can hit the heart, or, you know, go cut right through the clutter and all the noise that, or all the doubt that they have. You know, when you get to a new website and you're like, if they see those beliefs over there, I mean, those short phrases, you know, love the hustle, build relationships, not numbers, you know, take massive action, being certain of success, to be acknowledged, you must first be acknowledged, or to be acknowledged, you must first acknowledge. If they read that in the sidebar, that can just, you know, just show them where they're at, what type of stuff they're going to learn here in seconds. Nothing else on your website can, you know, in such a quick amount of time, let them know if this is the place that they want to be. So that's how you could take advantage of that and build likability, right? Because that's what's going to make them see that they like what you're going to be talking about and like you right off the bat. Number four, is scarcity. Scarcity, it's built right in. Again, once you build up thousands and thousands of followers, fans, connections, and so on. So scarcity is going to be built right into anything that you do, because everybody's going to know, wow, they have a ton of people, and they're going to be able to do this. Now, we'll talk about how to implement this when we get into sales and stuff. Number five, is authority. Authority, be knowledgeable and trustworthy. You know, knowledgeable, again, built right in. When you're putting out the value for free all the time to build up your reciprocity, you're also going to be showing people that you're knowledgeable. But if you want to build trust, let people know what your weaknesses are. And, you know, my weaknesses, I have a ton of them that I have yet to talk about. I haven't put a book on Kindle yet. There's a lot of things that I want to do that I haven't done myself yet, but that I'll be bringing on the experts to talk to you about, right? So do that, right? If you're not the expert or you have a weakness, turn it into a positive by inviting an expert on. Their strength is your weakness. Bring them on, and that makes for an awesome interview of your podcast or whatever, right? Find their blog post and share it on your site, or do a blog post about it. Finally, commitment and consistency. Now, the last thing I'll say is this. Not only do you want to implement the commitment and consistency, get them to commit, but you also, one of our beliefs is make a commitment to stay consistent. You also need to make a commitment to stay consistent. Realize that these principles apply to human beings, right? Human behavior dictates why these work. Understand that you need to take a small action, because no matter how small of an action you take, you'll be that much more likely to take the next action and the next action. And know that to build your tribe, you need to stay consistent. I mean, it's just a must. You have to stay consistent. Your numbers will continue to rise. You know, obviously it's sexy, you know, hearing about making, you know, $30 million in 17 minutes. That's great, but that's not realistic. Realistic is building your business day after day after day. Every day your tribe getting bigger. Every day your blog getting more visitors. Every day getting more shares, more comments, more likers. You know, it just every day building. And that's what happens. The more consistent you stay, the bigger your numbers will continue to rise. That's how businesses are built. And that's what we're going to be doing at Viralizers. Consistent, but with the power of social media and viral marketing and the systems that we use in the formula to explode, right? And to get, you know, 1,000 new people into your tribe every couple weeks versus getting 10. Right, by not using these formulas. So that's it for this episode. My name is Kevin DeSilva. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you go over to viralizers.com. Check out the videos there. We have the podcast and training videos that go along with these posts. Make sure you go to viralizers.com/VIP005. VIP005. So viralizers.com/VIP005 to get the show notes. But there's always With every podcast that I create, there's a blog post that goes along with that post where, you know, I break down in detail everything I talked about, all right? So go there, and you'll find links to videos that go with the lessons I talk about. So go check that out. Also, check out the other videos that are there. Go to viralizers.com/iTunes or viralizers.com/Stitcher if that's something that, if you rather, you know, listen to us on Stitcher instead of iTunes, go there. And I would ask that if you want to do something back for me, right? No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, though, if you, you know, have some extra time and you would like to do me a favor, I'd really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review either on iTunes, on Stitcher, wherever, okay? Wherever you want to leave a rating and review, that's what we look for. That's all I would ask you for. That would be a huge favor. Other than that, go to viralizers.com, get on the mailing list, okay? Get on the mailing list. As we move on, we're going to get, you know, we're going to start to really ramp it up here. And as I release ebooks and we start doing live events and all this stuff, it's all going to be my way of communicating with you other than through these episodes is going to be the mailing list, right? I'm able to contact you and instantly tell you, hey, I decided to do a webinar tomorrow. Come check it out. If you're not on the list, I'll have no way of telling you that. So make sure you join the mailing list and that's it. My name is Kevin DeSilva. This was episode 5. Again, go to viralizers.com/VIP005 to get the show notes and all the other good stuff that we just talked about. That's it for this episode. I'll see you on the next episode, which again is part 3 of the Action to Money Making series.